Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Morning show, John and Hugh, Willie P. in for John, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That last morning menu question is a doozy from Abe Gordon. What's the furthest length you've gone in order to fit in with a group?
I don't prostitute myself to fit in. I'm just saying.
Why are you gonna make me feel bad like that?
I'm not taking any shots. I'm just saying I don't prostitute myself to fit in.
I was 18 years old. I didn't know better, Hugh. You know.
I'm just saying. I mean, it's fine. We all do what we got to do. I'm just not that guy. I don't. You know. I ain't gonna go to great lengths just to be accepted. I just don't. You know. That ain't how I roll.
It made me think of one of our coworkers. You know, Randy McMichael gets really in his feelings if he sees somebody wearing a Georgia shirt who he knows didn't go to Georgia. I'll just say that.
Wow, he does? He's like that, huh?
He's very much like that.
Well, he did. You know, he did go to Georgia, so he has earned the right to mm-hmm. feel whatever way he feels about his alma mater. You know, he was a dog, so yeah, I guess.
It was funny. There was a day that I was in the studio. I was working with him, and I had a Georgia shirt on, and Carl Dukes had a Georgia shirt on, and you would have thought we would have said something bad about Donna because it was
he was hot for real.
He was on one. He's like, I don't want anybody in here wearing a Georgia shirt that doesn't go to Georgia.
I mean, I kind of feel you on that, but at one point. We were, you know, there was a mandate that, you know, we had to rock certain things. So yeah,
I have no problem with that. I got Brave shirts in here because of that mandate. I got Georgia shirts in here because of that mandate.
I will rock a Brave shirt. Not a. I can't do the Falcons. Much respect to the Falcons and Mr. Blank and the organization. I didn't play for the Falcons though. Did not play for the Falcons, I will wear a black and red shirt because you know that's our station colors. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not. I can't do the whole Falcons thing. Can't do that.
You could do an Atlanta United shirt.
Oh yeah, definitely did that. Do the five stripes. Can definitely do the five stripes. Wear Hawks gear.
Hawks got some nice gear.
But it's a little. It runs a little small. Like somebody, whoever has gotten the nod to like get the gear, like I normally wear 2X, but I'm gonna have to go ahead and bump it up to about a 3, because mm-hmm. it runs a little tight. So, but yeah, very nice.
That quarantine.
No, you know what? That COVID-15. I ain't been trying to put that on, brother. I've been working hard not to keep that on. Been doing a pretty good job of it. Haven't been doing that much cardio, but I ain't put that. Like I ain't got the COVID-15 though. I ain't got that. Or screaming over here. You're going meatless.
You said the same thing to me.
You're going meatless.
Don't start up that again.
We're going meatless.
Oh, man, that's funny. All right. We're going to talk to George Bello of Atlanta United, 17 minutes from right now. We'll talk about the game coming up on Thursday, which we'll have right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our pregame coverage starting right after we're done on Thursday, an abbreviated show at 8:30. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore will have that at 9 o'clock.
Ain't that something, an abbreviated show? That's the first time. That's unprecedented for us. First time ever in history.
First time you've ever led into a game before.
Ever. So that's going to be something new. That's definitely going to be something new.
We're going to move around some of our Thursday staples, Will Carroll and the like, to accommodate that 9 a.m. kickoff time from the bubble in Orlando, Atlanta against FC Cincinnati, as close to a must-win as you could possibly have for the Five Stripes. And George Bello, one of the bright spots from Saturday's 1-0 loss to the New York Red Bulls. We'll talk some Falcons here, though, Hugh, because if there was one position that the Falcons wanted to completely remake, I feel like I take what the Falcons did with their defensive line and kind of put it in the same category as what the Atlanta Braves did with their bullpen over the better part of the last year plus. The Falcons, with the exception of one singular player, I think made an effort to completely revamp their defensive line with the moves they made in free agency in the draft last year, letting Vic Beasley go, drafting Marlon Davidson, adding Dante Fowler. You throw Charles Harris into the mix as well. And now you have a situation where you feel like this pass rush can give you more than it's given you over the last 2-3 years. We just got to see it happen. How confident do you feel about this group providing a greater output for Atlanta?
I'll tell you what, Dante Fowler is going to be the guy that is going to be like somewhat the catalyst. We know what Grady Jarrett brings to the table. He had 7.5 sacks last year. Claiborne gave you 4, and Tack gave you like what, 3.5. So with Dante Fowler on the other side, he's going to have to be the catalyst. He's going to be the guy that's going to be looked at, that's going to get the ball rolling and take a lot of pressure off of Grady. And hopefully it's going to be in a situation where he helps Tack. You know, the knock on Tack is this, that Tack had opportunities to get to the quarterback. He was close, but no cigar. So with that being said, hopefully now with Dante Fowler here, you know, Tack is going to be able to get to the quarterback a little bit more and complete those plays that he's been trying to make in the last couple of games. You know, we've seen Tack. Tack plays hard, and I know Brandy likes to point that out all the time, how hard Tack McKinley plays. But, you know, you can play as hard as you want to, but if you're not getting those results, that's a frustrating day for anybody. So we're going to try to put it in a situation where Tack's going to have the success that he needs to in order to be here, because as you know, they didn't agree to the extension, well, the tender that they were going to give him. So it's going to be a thing where he's going to have, if he wants to stay here, he's going to have to play his way to the dinner table.
You don't get the moose head on your wall for close. That's the unfortunate thing. You don't get that. Do you feel a little bit like Tack got that declined option, that option was declined for nothing necessarily having to do with him and everything to do with what they didn't get from Vic Beasley?
A little bit of that. I mean, and they didn't want to get bitten by the same snake twice, you know, because Tack plays hard. But, you know, he's had shoulders injuries. He's had a whole bunch of all close. He's had a whole bunch of closes, but not no cigar. That had a lot to do with it. And the fact that this, you know what, this defensive line has not been great. I mean, let's just call it what it is. The one bright spot has been Grady Jarrett. And, you know, I know that we've been told for the most part that, you know, getting sacks was not that big of a deal. It's affecting the quarterback and moving him off his spot. But there's a lot of times last year where you didn't even move the quarterback off his spot.
No. You know?
And so, you know, with that being said and being in a situation where this is a league where you have to get the quarterback on the ground, and this team did not do a great job of doing that, You have to try to figure that out. You have to do better. You have to get better at that.
And the one thing that I will say, and I've probably been harder on the secondary than anybody, even with being deficient a player like Keanu Neal, they were asked to cover probably way longer on certain plays than they deserved.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you had such little pressure on the quarterback. And because
Agreed.
Of that, that's why a lot of times in that first 8-week stretch of the season, you saw guys running like gangbusters to try and get where the football was, because guys were running wide open because they broke off their routes because of the fact that the defensive ends could not get to the quarterback, the defensive tackles couldn't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and it put your defense in a bind. It put your Sure. defense in a real bind. And in order to have the kind of success and play the kind of defense that you want to play, you got to play better. You got to play better on the front end, you know, and take care of that back end. You do that, you put yourself in a much better situation to have a success. You know, a quarterback doesn't have all that time to pat the ball and find his receivers mm-hmm. if you're putting pressure on him up front.
How much do you think we can take from Dante Fowler's play, especially last year with the Rams playing next to Aaron Donald? Do you think we'll see the same type of output with him next to Grady? Because I feel like there's a lot to correlate there.
Man, I'll tell you what, you hope. I mean, that's what they're looking for. And plus, the relationship that Dante has with Coach Quinn, I think that factors into it as well. You know, Coach Quinn knew this Sure. guy when he was trying to go to Florida and try to recruit him. And I think that with that being said, Coach Quinn is looking at this guy to come in and be everything that basically Vic Beasley wasn't. You know, you talk about how Coach Quinn, when everything was going down and he said that he was going to, you know, get the most out of Vic Beasley, and Vic Beasley decided to do what he did. Not blaming Vic for that, because, you know, Vic had his charities that he was working with and he had to do his thing. I'm not blaming him for that. But Coach Quinn, I think, needs a guy that's going to come in and he can mentor a little bit and, you know, have that kind of rapport with, so that, you know, he can have that kind of success. So with that being said, I think that Dante is going to come in hungry. He's going to want to show people that, you know, he's worth the money that he got. Mm-hmm. And they're going to put him in position to be successful. And I think he has that hunger that you need to have at that position to be successful.
And think about a guy who plays the position that Grady does, having 7.5 sacks a year ago, 6 in 2018. Like, that doesn't happen by accident. Like, that guy has natural talent, but I also think that number stands out and is glaring when you have your leading sack getter in Beasley only have 1.5 more a sack, and you've got the other guy on the other defensive end, Tack McKinley, 3.5 last year. That can't happen.
And that's why, you know, you talk about that pressure off the edge
Sure.
and having that quarterback step up. Just imagine if Grady had consistent pressure off of those edges, how many sacks he could have had from the quarterback just stepping up and stepping into his lap. How many sacks he could have had if he would have got single blocking instead of that double team and sometimes triple team blocking from the center and the guards.
And to think about the two quarterbacks who were going to be our greatest competition in this division, they are not Bledsoe-level statuesque, but they're not mobile. So
It's not like
Breeze and Brady are going to be really trying to roll out and get beyond contain. Like, you have to figure out a way to hold them in, get them off their spot, like you said, and force them into either bad decisions or sacks. We'll chop it more up a little bit later on in the program as far as what we need to see out of the Falcon defense. But first, we'll hear from Atlanta United's George Bello, one of our homegrown left backs. We'll join him, or he'll join us, to discuss what went wrong Saturday, how do they fix it for Thursday, on your home of Atlanta United, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Show with John and Hugh. Willie P. in for John on Radio.com. Your home for Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning Show with John and Hugh. Willie P. in for John. And it's our pleasure this morning to be joined on the WadeFord.com hotline by our homegrown left back, George Bello, who joins us on the Morning Show on the WadeFord.com hotline. George, Willie P. and Hugh here with you. How are you?
George.
What's up? How are you guys?
Pretty good. So, George, I got to ask you, man, what was going through your mind after you unleashed that shot and then squared the crossbar? What was in your head at that point?
Well, for sure, I thought it was going in, so it was a shock that I did it, of course. But, I mean, it wasn't a lucky play. You know, I had a few thoughts about it after the match, but try to move on for that and just try to get a better result against Cincy on Thursday.
Well, I tell you what, my bad, Willie P, but we were going through it. Like, we were texting each other. We were doing the little group text thing, and, yeah, man, we just thought that thing was going in. And when it hit the bar, my man Abe had a fit. tough shot.
Yeah, it was just unlucky. Hopefully we'll get it next time.
It's a long road back for you, man. I know that you kind of fought it, the concussion symptoms early on, and obviously the injury last season. It's been a while since you've been out there with the first team in a competitive match like this. How gratifying did it feel to be out there and to play as well as you did?
Yeah, even though it was a disappointing loss, it felt like really good for me individually because, like you said, I've been out for a while. I haven't been able to get minutes with the first team like that in such a long time. So, in a way, it was a really good step forward for me as an individual, soccer player, after everything I've been going through. So, yeah, I'm really satisfied with that. And I feel like I had a solid performance. Of course, a lot of things could have been better. But I'm really happy that I'm back and kind of doing my thing regarding playing with the first team and getting minutes with them.
Talking with Atlanta United's George Bello here, Atlanta United left back. Looking at kind of the way that you guys had to get yourselves back to square, what exactly was the most difficult part of getting back to play? Because I know at times early on, you could tell there was some rust.
Mm-hmm. I think the most difficult thing was trying to get back that real game fitness, because obviously we weren't allowed to scrimmage any other teams or have any friendlies before. We just had to basically just try to play ourselves, and it's not really a real kind of game situation. So I'd say the hardest part is just trying to get that real game fitness back and getting that real sharpness back, because obviously there will be rustiness and stuff like that that we haven't played in a while. But I feel like that will just come, and hopefully be all back for the Cincy. But, yeah, I think just getting back that game fitness is the most important.
We're talking to George Bello on Sports Radio 929 The Game. That was a tough loss Saturday, no question about that. But as much as you can tell us, what did Frank DeBoer say to the team after that? And what did he say about the group stage and as you go forward?
Yeah, I mean, he obviously said it was a disappointing loss and that he's not fully disappointed in the way we played, though. He said that he liked our attitude towards the game, even though we went down really early, and that we just need to keep moving forward. And we have to obviously look at the things that we need to work on, things that we didn't do well, and then just use those to improve ourselves. So, I mean, he says we need to keep looking forward and just try to get points against Cincy and just try to get points against Columbus and just keep moving forward because, I mean, we weren't really rattled. I feel like we're still in a good spot, and I feel like the group and the team is still in a good spot with great attitude, so we should be good.
You mentioned the shot that hit the crossbar, George, and I know that result aside, it was disappointing, but how encouraged were you by the fact that it seemed like in the second half you guys got better of the chances and you really kind of dictated the run of play?
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, we just kept our attitudes high. Even going down that early can be really tough, and just sometimes teams can just put their head down, and then from there it can be a blowout if the team scores that early. But like I said, we had a good attitude, just try to keep ourselves in the game. And we just had to have that mentality throughout the whole match instead of waking up maybe in the fourth minute when they score. So just keep being having that consistency or to where, we're awake from the first second so that we don't go down like that ever again. So just having that attitude of consistency from the beginning to the end of the match.
Sports Radio 929 Again. We're talking to George Bello on Atlanta's number one sports station. So, George, 9 o'clock kickoff. Well, yeah, 9 o'clock kickoff this Thursday. How does that differ for you guys as opposed to more of a regular evening start?
Yeah, it's a really early game. We actually have training today at 8 a.m., so we've been practicing in the morning the past few days, trying to get used to it. So it's an early game, but, I mean, early games for both teams, so we just got to suck it up and just try to do what we can do. So, I mean, it's not in our control, so we just got to move with it and try to play our best.
When was the last time you played a match that early?
Dude, I don't even know, man. Probably like our youth tournament. I was U16.
It's certainly an adjustment, and not only that, but you know, this is kind of the closest thing that we get, at least domestically here, to a World Cup. The fact that you have such a condensed schedule, three games in a 10-day span. What has Frank De Boer done with you guys to try and ensure that you guys stay fresh, rotate? I know that he probably left some guys out of the selection roster on Saturday night because he wanted to try and save some guys for Thursday as well as next Tuesday. What has he told you as far as trying to not only conserve energy but keeping the eyes on the goal at hand?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because obviously the weather is really humid out here, and obviously we haven't been able, or no one in terms of been able to get full game fitness. So, I mean, yeah, he says it's going to be important that we have a rotation. He said it's going to be important that everyone's ready at all times. So it's just that kind of, that's probably the main point he said, just to be ready at all times, because we're going to need everyone in this type of tournament. So, I mean, yeah, there probably will be rotation. And if there is, good. If there's not, good. I mean, just everyone just needs to be ready.
George Bello, Atlanta United left back, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So you already faced FC Cincinnati once this season. How does that change your preparation? How do they look different? What have you seen from them preparing for them on Thursday?
Yeah, we haven't actually looked at them specifically as a team yet, but we're going to start preparing for them this morning, obviously. So, I mean, I feel like we're in good hands. I mean, like I said, the mentality with the team is really good. We're motivated to just go back out there and prove what we can do and just move forward from the first game and just build on what we did wrong and just be able to get the points against them.
George, what's bubble life been like? How have you been occupying your time?
Bubble life.
He called it bubble life. You know, the first couple of days, I was like, wow, this is really real right now. But, I mean, I'm kind of getting used to it. Been playing PlayStation, playing cards with the boys. There's a lounge where you can play table tennis. There's TV here. I mean, it's just like regular hotel life. Well, not regular, but, you know, just the hotel life, basically. But, yeah, getting through it for sure. I mean, it's something you can get used to.
So what you been playing on PS4?
I play FIFA, GTA, and 2K.
So did you beat Franco?
I haven't played Franco, nah.
What was that, Will? What?
Franco Escobar is like the man on the sticks when it comes to FIFA.
Okay. Gotcha. I thought you were talking about GTA.
You can ask him about GTA.
Oh no, I thought they were talking about GTA because I know a lot of the people play online now. GTA. I was playing, but yeah, I don't like to play online. It gets a little real online.
Yeah, I played a Call of Duty the first day, but I'm just some trash at that. So.
No, you know that's the thing about Call of Duty. If you don't play, like if you're not up on the newer games, and you try to jump in late, yeah, you're gonna get murked. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You're going to get murked.
You feel the team has gotten close together as a result of kind of being in this condensed format and in this bubble situation?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have no other choice to see each other every day and almost every other hour. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like we've definitely gotten closer, and which is a good thing. So it makes us even more together on the field. So it's been good. It's been good.
Well, we like seeing the hometown guy succeed. We hope that everything is still going well for you guys down in the bubble, and we hope you guys bring us back a victory on Thursday with all 3 points.
All right, for sure. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, stay safe.
That's George Bello, Atlanta United left back. That's the one thing that I think is the next level, because we've talked a lot about how differently Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra have built this team, and you're starting to see more of those academy signings come through. I know that you're not going to be able to build an entire team out of guys that you cultivate domestically. You're going to have some international pieces. The kid out of Paraguay, Eric Lopez, is certainly a big testament to that, as somebody who you can build around as well. But if guys like George Bello succeed, Hugh, that's only going to make Atlanta United that much more dangerous in the coming years.
Oh, no question about it, because that means you don't have to go abroad to find players. You can find them homegrown. And like you said, you can't build a whole roster out like that. But to have two or three two or three players from here, that's just a testament to how soccer has grown in this country over the past few years.
Really curious to see if we get to see Tyler Wolf before the end of the MLS's back tournament. He, of course, our latest homegrown signing.
Is that the Pointer Sisters in the background?
There you go.
Oh, wow. The Pointer Sisters, okay.
NFL headlines on the way next. If the NFL does take the field in 2020, it might look a heck of a lot different, not just from the schedule, but from the equipment side of things. We'll explain next. Willie P. in for John. It's the Morning Show with John and Hugh Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. NFL headlines on this Tuesday morning. The Morning Show with John and Hugh. Willie P. in for John. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Tanitra kind of started with the story that I wanted to start with you. The National Football League has developed through the folks at Oakley a brand new looking face shield, which they are distributing to teams in order to thwart off the spread of COVID-19. This is kind of something that I'm sure the NHL is working on too, with the fact that they have face shields as well. How prevalent, and as the teacher said, they're not going to make guys wear it, but they're going to strongly encourage it. How prevalent do you think this thing's going to be, and how comfortable would you feel about playing with a face shield like that?
Let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a few guys that try to put them on the first couple of days of training camp, and, you know, psychologically you're not going to be able to breathe, and you're going to not wear it. I mean, that's what's probably going to end up happening. And some guys, you got to get acclimated to wearing anything on your face like that, man. You right. really do. You know, because it's like wearing a helmet is one level. Wearing a helmet with a face shield on it is another level. Now, if you're a guy that wears a face shield and the new mask, that's something totally different. That's going to be different. And I would venture to say if most guys, if you're going to wear the mouth guard, mm-hmm. hell, you might as well wear the shield too. You might as well. I mean, if you're talking about trying to keep bodily fluids out of your face and all of that off your person, so yeah, that you might as well wear that too. So it's going to be an adjustment, I think, that guys are going to have to make.
Again, I'm looking at it right now. It doesn't look like it encloses on the bottom. It only looks like that it has that little extra bit of plastic where the mouth would be.
Yeah, listen, Will, let me tell you.
I'm not.
I was a guy. No, I'm telling you from personal experience. I was a guy that wore a face shield, mm-hmm. and when I tell you, buddy, it was a adjustment. Even though I wore it every year I was in the league, it was an adjustment. To get used to wearing that thing, you know, running around with those pads, everything is an adjustment. But that just adds another layer to what you have to adjust to by throwing that on your face as well. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those things where guys are going to try to do it. And you know, they're going to try to stay safe. And, you know, I would say the majority would probably try to wear it because they're trying to stay safe. So, you know, it's going to be something that they're going to have to adjust to.
If you don't mind me asking, since you've opened up Pandora's box, why did you go to a face shield after having not worn one?
Well, because everybody in the NFL, like the linemen, were taller than me, and they used to poke me in the eyes.
Ah, protection.
So yeah, so in order for them to quit poking me in the eye, I wore the shield.
I got you. I'm
there. I used to get poked in the eye quite a bit.
You know, people don't realize how often offensive linemen cheat now.
Oh yeah, they cheated quite a bit. They do what they got to do. I mean, it is what it is.
Know where there's no. It's funny how they always know where there's no padding, too.
Yeah, and they do it. Hey, listen, when it comes to that, they try to slow you up. That's what they're trying to do.
The NFL and the NFLPA have had their talks proceed as expected, with not really that much progress or any news coming from it. According to 49ers quarterback Richard Sherman, he said, "Good meeting today with management. We were blunt and honest with them, and we will not compromise our players' health in these discussions." How do you frame the kind of pessimism we heard from the college game yesterday, Hugh, with the scope of the NFL and where it sits? Because, you know, I think these are two different areas. I think these are two different scenarios. I feel like what they're asking college kids to do is not on the same level as what they're asking NFL players to do, and the NFL players are a lot different because they are employees. But I do feel that, you know, a lot of that pessimism can kind of cross over the border there and kind of seep into the NFL's thinking.
I think that, you know, everybody's gung-ho right now for the NFL season to start until you actually get in it and you're actually trying to navigate this. Because I think that Coach Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, said it best, like, football is a contact sport. And, you know, you're trying to socially distance in a sport that you have to have contact, constant contact with people throughout practice, throughout the game, and all of that. So it's going to be tough. As far as college, I still think they're trying to figure that out. Because now what I'm starting to hear is parents are starting to have a lot to say about this, especially when you're talking about, you know, kid safety. Because you're talking about opening up colleges and, well, you're talking about having college sports being played, but you're not opening up classes. They're not having, like, people on campus. They're going to virtual classes. So that's a little bit of an issue. And so some parents are starting to push back a little bit and talk about how are you going to say it's safe when you're not even having people on campus.
Certainly so. Tomorrow, 4 p.m., is the deadline for franchise tag players to sign long-term contracts with their respective teams. Dak Prescott is on that list. He signed the one-year tender for $31.4 million in June. It's looking like he wants to sign a long-term deal, but the Cowboys have not acquiesced to that request there, Hugh. To me, I look at this and I say, you know, I understand that Dak feels like he wants to reset the market, but
You ain't about to get Patrick Mahomes money, bro.
Exactly. Patrick Mahomes kind of leapfrogged him there. And I almost feel like if I'm Dak, I'm looking at my agent saying, how'd you let this guy go and usurp me like that?
You know what? You're right. Because now, you know, normally you're supposed to, like when you sign first, you're supposed to get equal value, mm-hmm. equal or greater than the person that signed before you, I should say. That ain't about, like, they're probably looking at Dak like, dog. I don't know.
And they probably did tell it. You.
And they probably did it. They will. They probably did it just like that. Dog, what you talking about?
Right.
Man, go with that.
You're good, but you're not Mahomes good.
Yeah, you ain't Mahomes good. How many playoff games you won? Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
And here's the thing. Like, Dak gets a lot of flack. Pardon the rhyme there. But. Yeah. I do feel like he is kind of in that same category that a lot of people put Matt Ryan in. I put Matt probably a little bit ahead of that, but he's in that same category. He is good enough to where you don't have to restart your team because he's not performing. Like, that's the thing. Like there are three tiers of quarterbacks in my mind. Mm-hmm. There's the elite, the Rodgerses, the Bradys, the Breezes. And then there's the next level where a guy is good enough. He's not going to win it for you on his own, but you're not going to have to restart your franchise because of him. And then there's the scrubs. Then there's the guys who, you know, could win with a bunch of stuff around them, or if you have nothing around them, then they're just a guy. Mm. And I feel like Dak is somewhere in the middle of that second tier. Would you say that's fair?
Mm. That, I mean, the way you presented it, Will, is kind of hard to kind of disagree with it, because it makes so much sense when you talk about the tiers of quarterbacks. Because you're talking about guys who have, during their tenure, their resume, they have won with multiple different guys. And then you have some guys that they do have good talent around them. I'll say this, because when you say that about Matt Ryan, to me that kind of Matt Ryan's a good quarterback. I don't know if I'm comfortable saying elite, but he's really on
the higher end of that second tier. He's higher than Dak is in that second tier.
Yeah, he's definitely higher than that. He's definitely higher than that. So I would go that. But yeah, when you talk about Dak and what he's had and what they've accomplished over the years, you kind of look at him and think like, yeah, he's probably not that guy. He needs more to help
and
him
I would,
win.
And I would also venture to say that second tier of quarterbacks has probably the greatest group and greatest variance in terms of, you know, okay, this guy is good but is passable, or another guy is good but he's not elite. And so like I feel like that's where Matt is, and I feel like Dak is on the passable level to where it's like, again, he's not the reason that the Cowboys haven't been successful.
Yeah.
There's other parts of that team that are reasons that they haven't been successful, but I don't think he can necessarily do it on his own. Another guy who's on that list, of course, of people involving franchise tenders is Derrick Henry. It doesn't look like he's going to get a long-term deal either, and I feel that that's more of a figment of the way the running back market has been over the last couple
of years.
That's
a positional thing. You know, they're not going to pay running backs, so yeah, that's more a positional thing.
Teams are very reticent to pay running backs. See the story that we had yesterday involving former Falcons running back Devontae Freeman separating from his agency group. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, morning show with Willie P in for John Fricke. I will give you a very interesting pick six. Be thinking of your best sports theme songs for our pick six after 8 o'clock. It's morning show with John and Hugh. Willie P in for John. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.